All right, a big talking travel with our travel guide, our travel expert, Sally Lucas. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Mark.
Now, you have a couple of fantastic things for us today.
I have. We're going to talk about a really interesting tour of India. They're covering a lot of territory there, and also a culinary voyage that Hurtigruten, or HX as they're now called, are doing, which sounds fascinating, going up that wonderful Norwegian coastline. And it's a really sustainable food and beverage award they've just won as well. So
all sounds pretty good. We'll get into that. We're talking travel with Sally Lucas. Sally, let's get right into it. Let's get right to work straight away. You're heading to India.
Heading to India. The Colours of Rajasthan is the name of the itinerary. It's known as the Land of the Kings because it's got so many ancient towns, magnificent forts, and, of course, the monumental Taj Mahal, as we all know, and some wonderful national parks as well, famous, of course, for the Bengal tigers, which is really fascinating. I love big cats.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. The best animals out there.
Oh,
yeah.
Just incredible. The size of the paws. You just look at them and you think, oh, my God. So you start, oh, this is about...
Keep your distance, though. Keep that distance.
Yes, yes. Did you know that new Monarto Safari Park, and I'm digressing here now, but it's good to talk about it anyway, which is at, I'm just trying to think of my directions, northeast, if I'm saying this correctly, of Adelaide or just south of the Barossa. Incredible, if you haven't been there, wildlife park. It's the biggest one in Australia now, even bigger than Dubbo, Western Plains.
Okay, wow.
And they've got more African animals there than just about anywhere else in the world. They've been gradually building and building this zoo up. And we went a few years ago, so obviously it's more animals there than we went. And they've also now built a luxury hotel on the premises as well, so you can do these, you know, stay as well.
Isn't that becoming a thing these days?
Man, it is. Yeah. And honestly, if you've never been to this one, and it was the old days, ex-premier bought the land. It was going to be used to make a satellite suburb, but it never happened. So the government has ended up, you know, it's ended up back being back to be able to develop into this wonderful wildlife park.
Yeah.
So if you want to see everything without going, well, you might not be able to afford to go, or, you know, you're not travelling overseas anymore, get yourself down there because you're just going to see the most incredible array of animals. Just amazing.
And if you would love to travel across the ocean,
now,
well, let's go back to India.
So, yeah, so Delhi, obviously you're starting in the capital of Delhi. That's where you fly into. And, of course, it's got a lot of colourful chaos with rickshaws and cars and pedestrians and everything happening, street vendors. But you've got history, monuments and all the usual there. And after that, you'll go on to Agra, which is wonderful to see the Red Fort, and then, of course, the wonderful Taj Mahal, as we all know. Everyone wants to see that iconic monument, which was built, obviously, for his lovely wife, the, can't think which one it was, that the prince now that...
Are you looking as if I have a clue?
Oh, no, I thought you might, you know. I'm just hoping for a little bit of help there.
All I could think of is the poor bloke who's like, well, okay, what have I got to do to have this happy marriage? Oh, no, I'll just build this really iconic building.
I know.
Hopefully things worked out after that. Hopefully they were happy.
It took 22 years to build by over 20,000 workers.
Yeah, there might be a story in that.
There'll be a story in that, I'm sure. Now, after that, you go into the Ranthambore National Park. Now, as we just mentioned, this is quite a famous park. It's a very large park, and it has got heaps of your wonderful Bengal tigers. So that is just going to be an amazing experience to do that. Other animals as well, but, I mean, Bengal tigers, of course, is what it's famous for, but there'll be other cat varieties like leopards, you've got hyenas, jackals, wild boars, even crocs, gazelles, a particular Indian gazelle and spotted deer. So there's lots of things there to be done as well. And then you go on to Jaipur, and Jaipur is wonderful as well because it's also got the famous Amber Fort, and it's sort of had a lot of history in Jaipur, and it was often referred to in this area, the architecture is so beautiful, and it's the Palace of Winds. And that's another name for it. And then you've got a historic old town that you go through there, and you end up going on to Udaipur, which, again, you're seeing some incredible palaces. India's full of these marvellous palaces that, you know, the wealth that was there for a while, like a lot of countries, whether it, you know, you could think of so many countries where they've built these magnificent structures. We don't seem to build them anymore. We just build squares.
We do.
Or rectangles.
Sadly.
We've lost it. Anyway, we won't get into that. Then after that, you go on to Jodhpur and you go through desert area here as well. So there you go. You've gone into national parks. You've got desert. So India is very diverse.
Yeah, there's a bit of everything, really. a lot of everything, to be
fair. Yeah, and when you go south, of course, not that this one is, because we're doing the Rajasthan area, which is to the north, but you've got Goa and all the beautiful rivers and houseboats you can go on and all the coastal areas and where they eat more seafood down there. Everyone just thinks of Indian food as just a curry. It's not. It's got very diverse culture and very diverse food, which is a lot of what's so interesting. And it's so colourful. It's a very colourful country. Mm. You know, all the beautiful saris the women wear. And there's
the dress wear. And of course, those festivals, they seem
to throw holy festival.
They throw the colours around.
So you've got that. Then you go on to Jaisalmer, which is another beautiful and untouched wilderness of India. And eventually you'll end up back in Delhi to come home. So if you're interested in doing it, this is a lovely itinerary. It's not doing all of India. It's, as I said, it's mainly doing Rajasthan, and you've got departures, some left for this year, but certainly going right through 26 into 2027. So it's about 20 days, lovely itinerary if you're interested in travelling to India.
She's done India, and now she's jumping on a cruise from the folk at Hurtig Gruten, whose name must be mentioned every week. Don't know anything about the company, don't really need to. I just love the name.
I know you do.
Then they went all modern and became HX.
I know. They've all changed their names and do things, strange things these days, don't they? They decide they need a new way of promoting themselves, I suppose. It makes it sound like something brand new, and it's just the old one being rebranded.
The original name, you know what jumps into my mind? Like one of those Norwegian ice cream shops.
Oh, yes.
That's what jumps into my
mind. Yeah. Was it Dugs or
yeah, there's
something.
A few of them. That's what I think of.
Well, this would suit you then, because this is a culinary voyage, okay?
It will.
So calling all culinary travellers, don't miss out on this. They have been or have been acclaimed for its Norway Coastal Kitchen program, which they have got recognition as one of Food and Wine's 2025 Global Tastemakers and winning the most sustainable food and beverage program award at a, I suppose you'd call it an expo or whatever it's called, Sea Trade, which is the world's largest annual cruise event. So that's quite a feather in their cap, isn't it, when you think about it? So they've got some new small group itineraries this year. Now, this isn't just a cruise, it's land and sea. So you're getting off to experience the food on land as well as on board the ship. So we've got September 21, October 5, October 19 and November 2. It's a seven-day voyage which includes 3 nights on the original Coastal Express from Bergen to Stamsund, and you have 2 nights at partner farms in Lofoten and Vesterålen and 1 night at a distillery by Lyngen Fjord in northern Norway. So you're getting all sorts of things, which is just really fantastic, I think. And even the food that we had on the vessel, I must admit, you know, I thought was really, really good.
What stood out?
Oh, I don't know. They obviously do a lot of fish, obviously, because you know there's so much water around Norway and fjords and so on. So that is a very, I guess, a strong focal point of their cuisine is definitely seafood.
Okay.
And in different forms, of course, as well. So this starts in Bergen anyway, and it's UNESCO listed. It's got that famous colourful Bryggen district with all the lovely wooden multicoloured houses that you often see photos of and cobblestone streets. And it's got a famous fish market as well there. And they have a restaurant attached to that, which has beautiful seafood if you're interested in that. They do have a lot of things using rye bread, and they have this open sandwich, and I'm probably not pronouncing it correctly, called smørrebrød, which is ideally with smoked wild salmon and dill and poached eggs on a rye bread, which is really nice.
Hold the dill.
Hold the dill.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not a dill fan?
Hold it away from me. The rest is amazing.
Yes. Well, you could pick the dill off anyway. Yeah. So anyway, so you're starting there in this wonderful place, and then you head off to Alesund, which is your next port of call, and you are going to be, and it's a really different town altogether because it's a university town and it's famed for its Art Nouveau architecture. So it doesn't really look like anywhere else in Norway. It's very, very different. And then you're going to get some products from an tiny island where it's a distillery that has been blended single malt whiskies, organic spirits, botanical gins, traditional aquavit, which they drink as a traditional drink over there. And then you have a dinner that night, which is a 5-course menu with many local ingredients from the surrounding areas with selected wines, ciders and beers. Oh, it all just sounds too much to me, doesn't it?
Fish on that menu, I'm guessing.
Yeah, I'm sure there'll be fish on that menu anyway. So after that, you're going on to, of course, to learn about the Sami people, because they are the semi-nomadic people who live across the top of northern Scandinavia. So you're getting a little bit of history as well and into the Sami foods on that also. And then you'll go to, you have a drink in the form of afternoon tea, but it's called Havet's Bobla, which means bubbles from the sea. And it's a sparkling wine that's being created exclusively for Hurtigruten. And it's sea-aged at the bottom of a fjord in Norway's Arctic. My God.
Wow, that's different.
It is, isn't it? The location of the fjord apparently is a closely guarded secret. But apparently it has no secret that the actual drink has got a rich palate, they say, of citrus, apricots and cream, and it's a sparkling wine like no other.
All right, so there's certainly a little bit of magic there.
And then you continue on, of course. You're doing lots of visits to different other stilleries, that's the word I was trying to look for, stilleries and farms, and you do stay, as I said, on some of these farms as well. And if you want, at the end of all this, when you've finished doing all this, you can continue on if you wanted to. Like, this is only 7 days, and you can do the rest of that coastal voyage if you so desired. So you can tack on at the end after doing this culinary bit. So this is more about the food, I guess, than the journey for this particular first part of it. And then if you really want to enjoy the rest of that beautiful coastline, you could do it. Because on the Coastal Express, it operates, I guess, like bus service, ferry service. So you can just buy sectors.
Okay, so you pick the bit that is most suitable for you.
What you want to do and how long you want to do it for, and whether you want to do it on the way back, because they do a different route on the way back.
Or just do the lot.
Just do the lot. It's so beautiful. Every time I think about Norway, I just think it was such a beautiful country. And I know I've talked about it a lot, but it's one of those places, you know, some places, yeah, I've been there, done that, and I don't need to go back. I could go back to Norway easily. So it is a beautiful, beautiful country. Food is great. Scenery is just so stunning. It's unbelievable. And then you might make some new friends and have a few skulls and off you go.
I'll be with the naughty kids in the corner that are taking that pickle way off of there. I know that's very McDonald's of me, but, you know.
It is. But, yeah, so that's just some new little things that Hurtigruten is doing, as well as everything else that they do with some wonderful voyages. And, of course, as you know now, Mark, we've talked about it, they go down into the Antarctic as well as the Arctic. So they've spread their wings and a lot bigger than that small company that started 100-plus years ago that was just a little coastal, you know, cargo, virtually a freight run.
Yeah.
Basically is how it all started.
Sally, you always do on a Friday with the big bag or swag of hot deals.
Yes, and before we get into the hot deals, and this is sort of just giving some advice in a way, it was an article recently saying, where do you go when all the ships are gone? And what we're talking about here is a lot of the international ships have gone to the Northern Hemisphere. Like, we've lost them. They come down here for summer. They don't stay all year round. So if you're starting to want to go on a, particularly like a larger ship cruise company, the only, I guess, staple one that stays for winter is Carnival. But like Princess Cruises, Royal Caribbean, etc., you know, they've all gone. So just keep in mind, though, we've got lots of expedition cruise companies who are Australian and are based here. So you've still got options. There'll be an odd cruise ship international call in, but we don't get the majority of them in winter. But you've got Pearl Expeditions, which is a 30-guest boutique motor yacht, Paspaley Pearl, which does obviously the Kimberley, and it also goes on to Papua New Guinea in October. And the True North does a southern safari for 22 passengers from Adelaide to Coffin Bay and Kangaroo Island. Weekend getaway, there's a 60-passenger Whitsunday Explorer, does two-night trips to Whitehaven and the Great Barrier Reef. You've got the Heritage Adventurer sails from Darwin to Indonesia on a 19-night Asian island odyssey. Coral Expeditions has the widest selection of domestic sailings. And instead of doing a road trip, you can sit back and relax aboard their vessels, which is 120 passengers only from Fremantle to Broome via Ningaloo Reef. Or they do a big lap of Australia. They do a complete circumnavigation for 2 months in October. And then you've also got them doing cruises around Tasmania and Hobart as well. From Darwin, they also go to the Indonesian islands of Raja Ampat and the Spice Islands. And from Cairns, of course, you can do the Solomon Islands or a top-end itinerary to Cape York and Arnhem Land. So we do have options of cruising still.
Just thinking of it a little bit differently, perhaps.
That's exactly right. So talking about big cruises, though, as well, Regent Seven Seas Cruises at the moment, if you're interested, and they have won lots of awards as they're top-of-the-line cruise company, by the way, up to 40% off selected transcontinental voyages. So they're your longer voyages. You know, you could be embarking from Cape Town or New York and you're crossing oceans, right? It's not like just cruising around islands. So on these, they've got up to 40% off 26 and 27 sailings up until the 31st of August. And in part from getting everything included as far as your food and beverages are concerned, they also include unlimited shore excursions at every destination.
Oh, they
plus,
got you
if you're
covered.
Getting 40% off, that's not too bad, is it?
Mm.
All right, that's pretty good, actually. But anyway, there you go. Another one, Viking Cruises, they've got savings of up to $4,800 per couple on some of their 26 through to 28 voyages when you book by 1 September. And also you can extend. They've got some little land packages now. So if you want to have a few unhurried days, like at the beginning or end of your cruise, they've got some accommodation options for you as well. So that's always good to look for. We've talked today, well, we were going to talk, sorry, I haven't talked about it yet, but Taiwan. Now, a lot of people haven't been to Taiwan and don't know much about it, and it was once known as Formosa, meaning beautiful island. So there's a lovely tour you can do there, 10 days, which covers a lot of the island's most iconic and untouched treasures. Not just Taipei, of course, but you've got Sun Moon Lake, Taroko Gorge, you've got hot springs, you've got beautiful lush countrysides, waterfalls, Thousand Island Lake. So you've got scenery, heritage, etc. And there's regular departures at four-star hotels as well. So very, very nice accommodation, 4.5-star at least. And that's taking you through Taiwan. And also we've got, in cruising, Oceania Cruises have got exceptional savings of up to 55% off some of their sailings. For example, like Rome to Istanbul in October. There's Papeete to Bali, so that's a bit of a trans-Pacific-y one. And Auckland to Singapore that goes all around Sydney, Cairns, Townsville, etc., then up through Darwin, Bali, and on to Singapore. And you've got to book that by 1 August. So there's some good savings still to be had out there on a lot of the cruise companies at the moment. And Silversea have also got up to 40% off, but that only goes on a range of their cruises till the 13th of July. So they've got different dates and different availabilities. But look, just check it out. There are some good prices still to be had and still some vacancies for this year. But certainly, you know, if you want to cruise the one you really want and get the cabin you really want, as we always say, book early.
You got to just have to, don't you?
You do these days, I think, to get what you want. And, you know, you're paying a lot of money sometimes for some of these holidays, so you want to make sure you're doing it the way you want to do it.
Well, that'd be the last thing you want to do is sort of outlay all this money and then go, oh, if only we'd have, you know, done that little bit extra and got what we really want.
Yeah, and got what we really want, because to me that's what you want. You want to come back feeling like you've not just had a holiday, you've had an experience and that you're feeling so much better and wealthier and healthier in your mind for what you've learnt and what you've experienced. You know, it's all about the destinations you're going to and the food and the people and the culture and the history, and you just soak it all up and come back and you get revived. Revitalised, yes.
Always a pleasure, Sally. Thanks for today's offerings.
We'll hear
you next week.
We will.
Thanks for listening to this podcast from 2NURFM at the University of Newcastle. You'll find them all at 2NURFM.com.